So this is about Bhava Bhakti. Because we have a goal. Every one of us has a goal. The goal is love of God. Goal is love. Everywhere. Thousands, thousands, thousands. You go on the net, you'll find thousands. Just type in on Google, Anand. And you'll find out so many Anands. Anand, Arun, Swami, Anand, this one, Anand, this and that. Many Anands. And they're in bliss. They're all in bliss, Anand. And they're all teaching. And every single one of them is talking about love. One of the disciples of Osho, Rajneesh, his name is Anand. He's a very big, famous person. And he's preaching love. And then there's this one, that one. Everyone's preaching love. And you go to ISKCON. The goal of life is love of God, Krishna Prem. Anyone who avoids these 10 offenses will rapidly make advancement on the path of devotion, attain the desired result, which is Krishna Prem. He's like a robot, Krishna Prem. You know, so this is where everyone's talking about prema. So we're chanting our 16 rounds, we're going to Mangala Arati, we're reading the books, we're selling books, Prabhupada's books. Now, if we just carry on to that sadhana, will we attain bhava on our own? The answer is what? Yes or no? The answer is no. It's not enough. Bhakti, you know, bhakti, bhav, prem, they're all transcendental. They're all eternally existing. They're all aspects of the sarup shakti of Krishna. Sarup shakti, internal, spiritual, eternal potency of Krishna. We are not sarup shakti, we are tatastha shakti, everywhere told, marginal potency. We are sat, we are eternal, and we have chit and anand. You can say the farmer has two fields. One field's called chit and one's called anand. It's just dirt there. Pay dirt. There's no crops growing there. There's no seeds there, there's no crops there. And there's no water there, it's just dirt. There's no sunshine, there's no water, it's covered with a roof. That's the nature of the jiva. He's sat. I'm eternal, I'm eternally existing. And the chit, I'm sat, chit anand, are like potential. So then you wander universe by universe, Ramanda Brahmate Kaun, Bhagyavana Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasadi, Pai, Bhakti Lata Bij. He puts the first bij in one field. So bhakti comes from outside, from Guru. So bhakti, we're practicing bhakti, but that bhakti is because we're not Sarup Shakti, we're Tatastha Shakti. And now we have a seed, we're like this vast field, and we have one seed. And that seed has to become a fruit. And then that fruit will make a seed, and so many fruits will come on that tree of prema, and then pretty soon the whole field can be turned into prema. And that's bhava. So we get bhakti from outside ourselves, and then we're hearing and chanting. And we have this little bit of bhakti, but then all the acharyas, they say there's karma mishra bhakti, then gyan mishra bhakti, then this kind of, so many kinds, uttam bhakti, madhya bhakti, madhyam bhakti, uttam bhakti, kanishta bhakti, kanishta, 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 madhyam, kanishta, uttam, madhyam, kanishta, madhyam, 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 uttam, madhyam, kanishta, madhyam, madhyam. It's like 9 different categories of that. It's not pure. It's not ahoitaki apratiyata. It's not unconditional. So many conditions. The definition of bhakti is given by Rupa Goswami. Anyavilashita shunyam. Jnana karma dhyanavritam. Anokulyena krishnanu shiranam bhaktutam. Uttam bhakti. Uttam, pure bhakti. What is it? There's no other desire inside of my mind or heart except to love and serve Krishna. Nothing. And I don't want any, you know, hell food. I don't want any, that, nothing. So this is high thing. So our bhakti has obviously mixed. Kam, krodh, loh, moha, matsari, lust, anger, greed, envy, so many things. Ambition, pride. You know, oh yeah, you're big, you're this, that, pratishtha. So this is... Jiva Goswami Rupa Goswami is telling here that this bhava is nitya siddhasya and prakatyam, vridhi sadhyata. It's placed in the heart. So what is this bhava? It's an eternal essence of the Swarup Shakti, the intrinsic internal potency of Krishna. This bhava is not a thing that grows in the heart of an individual as an effect of sadhana bhakti. The seed is there. The seed is there, so now we're going through the rudiments. We have the seed of bhakti from Guru. We're hearing and chanting. And that's preparing our field. It's cleansing our heart, Chaitanya Marjanam, and preparing our soil, putting fertilizer in our soil, wetting the soil, taking the roof off, and it's preparing our fields very nicely. It's for the ingress of Bhava Bhakti in that field of Samvit and Ladini, which is called Chit and Anand, Sat Chit Anand. Anand means Ladini, and Chit means Samvit, knowledge, awareness, understanding. So this, then he says, so Bhava, what is it? And I said, where is it? It's with Krishna or his other Nitya Siddhas? It's Nitya Siddha. We're not Nitya Siddha. We're Nitya Bhada. We're eternally conditioned by this material world. But we can become perfect, then we become Siddha, perfect, Sadhana Siddha. We're called by Sadhana, and by ultimately Kripa comes and mixes in, brings the Bhava, then we become perfect. So how does it how does Bhava reveal itself into the heart? It comes down. And sadhana bhakti, the practices of hearing and chanting and remembering, are the means to attain the end of Bhava. So we hear and we chant our rounds, we do all the limbs of sadhana, because that's, what else can we do? And then we just wait for the mercy of Bhagavan or his devotees. So then in sadhana bhakti, hearing and chanting about Krishna are the means to the end. In bhava bhakti, when bhava comes and mixes with your heart and mind and softens it and creates all pure desires and pure feelings and pure awareness of yourself and Krishna's eternal form and your eternal form, then you're also hearing and chanting. You're also chanting japa and chanting kirtan. And you're remembering. But now, that hearing and chanting in the Bhava Bhakti is not a means to the end, because Bhava is the end. It is an expression of your love. It's called Anubhava. Anubhava. Anu means follow. That which follows your Bhava. So Bhava has entered your heart. Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! You're in bliss. You have this Satchitanand, this Ladini has come inside you, because Bhava is a combination of Ladini and Samvit. Knowledge potency of Krishna's internal energy, this Antaranga Shakti, Swarup Shakti, and the bliss loving potency. So the person, he may chant, he may just all day long, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, he's just chanting in bliss. Maybe no rounds, no japa, or maybe jams, just rounds, tears falling from his eyes, just sitting alone. Or he sings, he does kirtan, he's in bliss. You see the different levels of kirtan, different devotees doing kirtan. This one seems some more effect. You hear the kirtan of one devotee has more some prabhav or some effect on you. Why? Because the content. Let's say Hare Krishna. Okay, take out the musicality. Okay, he's a good harmonium player, good mridanga, whatever. Or he has a good voice. Take out all the expertise and musicianship of it all. But there's something inside it, inside the name, that's coming inside me. That's the bhakti, high-class bhakti, nishchita bhakti, or asakti bhakti, or bhava bhakti. This is the thing. So that's what he says. In bhava bhakti, the stage, however, hearing and chanting are anubhavas of bhava, or physical expressions. With the tongue, you chant, with the ears, you hear, and with the mind, you automatically remember the Astakali Leela of Krishna. The presence of real bhakti in the heart, named Bhava Bhakti. So then he says, the finite jiva, the jivatma, cannot generate or produce bhakti by itself, by its own efforts. Bhakti is a part and part. Now he's talking about bhakti in his commentary. It's part and parcel of the internal nature or the essence of Krishna's Swarup Shakti. So this bhakti descends into the jiva's soul. That's why you were asking about the differences between the what you call bhavajis, or I say traditional parivars, because many of them aren't bhavajis, but they're still traditional parivar that have the same siddhanta. So a more accurate term would be the traditional parivars, or traditional lines of Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and the neo-Gaudiya Vaishnavas were the new contemporary Gaudiya missions, which everyone knows what they are. So he says here that, now this is the issue of parampara. Now that's why I'm saying this is interesting, because we're asking about the differences between Gaudiya Math, ISKCON, Gaudiya Math, and the Babaji's or traditional. Now I'm going to read that. This is comments by the translator of this book from Sanskrit to English, which is Bon Maharaj, Bon Maharaj, Bhakti Ridoy Bon Maharaj. This is what he's telling, and he was a direct disciple of Bhakti Santa Saraswati and a direct sannyasi disciple of Bhakti Santa Saraswati, who went to England and preached, and he was one of the big Western preachers in the 1930s. 1930s he went to England. So he says that this bhakti, it descends. How do we get bhakti? It enters the jiva through the guru parampara. That is the uninterrupted chain of preceptorial order. In each one of the preceptors or gurus in the chain, this power of the Lord must have manifested itself. If the chain of the preceptorial order is interrupted at any link, there can be no manifestation of this bhakti in an individual disciple. This bhakti ras emanates from the Lord's Sarup Shakti and reveals itself through an uninterrupted chain of spiritual preceptors or gurus, appears at last in the heart of the jiva, who's been time immemorial in the material energy. This chain of guru-disciple must be uninterrupted so that bhakti will be possible to appear in an ordinary person. Bhava-bhakti, now he's talking about bhava, is not a generated event. It is a case of the descent of eternally real from God to the individual. Bhakti makes its appearance in the individual heart from God to man through the parampara. So this is the whole idea of what we're getting from Guru. When we go to Guru, we receive the seed of bhakti, and we follow his teachings, and we follow the teachings of Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta, and do sadhana bhakti, and gradually we become purified and elevated, and we become a suitable receptacle for the ingress or the bestowal of bhava by the Lord and his devotees. And it depends on mercy. I don't know if I have it here. In this commentary on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it's by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. It's called Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Bindu. I was re-looking at it a little bit earlier because it's been very elaborately published and commented on by the Gaudiya Math, and this is probably, you can download it, it's called Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Bindu by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, translated by Srila Bhakti Vedanta Narayan Maharaj. But I haven't read it for many years, as I gave classes in Kartik that recorded on the net on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and I had discussed all these different books at the same time. But this book has been organized. Actually, what it is, the actual book, that's why it's called Bindu. Bindu means a drop. And Sindhu means an ocean. Sindhu Bindu. An ocean and a drop. So Rupa Goswami wrote an ocean. And I'm going to write a drop. One drop from that ocean. That's out of humility, out of regard and respect. It's a comment. It's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is the nectar-filled ocean of devotion. And Bindu is a drop taken from that ocean. So what the actual book is 27 shlokas. Vishnu Chakravarti wrote 27 shlokas. And I only until today I understood it. There's so much, it parallels, the way this book is set up, it parallels the whole layout of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by chapters and sections. And every so often I see a big number, you know, 47, 48. And that's a little confusing. It says he wrote 27 verses. 14. Let's see. Yeah, okay. Wait a minute. 14, 20. Anyway, so he says here, he has one. This is a shlok when he's, because in the third wave of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it talks about Bhava Bhakti and describes it. And we're discussing about that a little bit now. What are the symptoms of it, and what effect, when Baba comes into one, what effect does it have on his heart? How does it change one, or transform one? That's a common word they use. So his comment here, his verse is, Ata sarana bhakti paripakena Krishna kripaya tad bhakta kripaya vabhava bhakti Bhaktir Bhavati. He's saying that Krishna Kripaya Tad Bhakta Kripaya Bhava Bhakti Bhavati. Bhavati means let it be, or it manifests, or it appears. Bhava Bhakti appears by Krishna Kripaya or Bhakta Kripaya. It's by the mercy of the devotee or by the mercy of Krishna that one gets the Bhava. So here, even Bhon Maharaj, in his comments, he's emphasizing the need for proper parampara. And of course, the IGM followers, they will say that their parampara is correct, and they have their zigzag line. So that's one point of contention. So it's a detail rather than a principle, that IGM has a parampara, but it's not the traditional conception of a parampara. So the traditional Gaudiyas, they are at difference of opinion about that. But this is a nice point about Baba, that it's all bhakti itself comes from outside of us, Baba comes from outside, and Baba eventually becomes prema. I just wanted to read.